Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com. I'm Pastor Greg, and I welcome you to our study as we begin chapter 14 of the Gospel of Luke. We'll cover verses 1 through 6 in this message titled, "And They Could Not Answer Him." You may contact us by email at bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also write to us at Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also donate there at bbfohio.com. And any check or money orders should be made out to Bible Believers Fellowship. And now we begin with a current events update, and then our study titled, "And They Could Not Answer Him." Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. This is part 1 of 2.
Of our current events update, we do headline reviews in the news. And number 1, we just want you to understand the political corruption that is killing our country. This is just an example of something that we mentioned some time ago. Obama, Biden cronies made billions off of China trade deals and regulatory policies. You have to understand that when you see the news and what's going on with foreign policy, when you see what's going on with China big time right now, you have to understand that they make decisions, and the president and the legislature can, the president assign executive orders that affect foreign policy. Then also the legislature can pass laws that affect it. And you can watch where these congressmen and senators will, it's basically insider trading. And they will invest money knowing that something's about to happen with an executive order or a law that they can then benefit from. And from this story, it said, former President Barack Obama used his executive powers to impose industry regulations that lowered the value of certain companies and led to financial gains for a firm owned by two close family friends. According to Breitbart editor-at-large Peter Schweitzer, the admissions were revealed in Schweitzer's new book, it's a couple of years old actually, Secret Empire, which found a pattern of investments in coal, of all things, offshore mining, and for-profit universities that closely tracked the Obama administration's regulatory policy changes. Billionaire activist Tom Steyer, who himself ran for president, and guess who? George Soros, were among the beneficiaries. It's the new wave of corruption in Washington, D.C., Schweitzer said during an interview with Lou Dobbs on Fox Business. So here's how it works. Schweitzer said the Vistria Group, run by Obama's best friend, Marty Nesbitt, drove the for-profit school, University of Phoenix, y'all seen those, into the ground with the regulations, then swooped in to buy it. They come in, they buy it for pennies on the dollar, and lo and behold, the Obama administration says, you know what? We think we're going to let GI money float back into the University of Phoenix. See, they cut off the spigot. It goes bankrupt. They buy it for pennies on the dollar, turn the spigot back on, and now the new owner, Obama's best friend, makes money hand over fist. Just go online. We don't have time to go in depth about that. This is a current event update, so we keep it short. Just go online and go to DuckDuckGo, for example, and put in the search terms, politicians who became millionaires after being elected. Just do that. Spend some time reading what comes up. You're going to see that congressmen and senators are elected and use their power to make themselves millions. Millionaires. This is from a left-wing publication. Daily Beast is what it's called. Headline, key Democrat leaders have pocketed millions from guess who? Pharma. We were just talking about it downstairs. Been talking to all of you about it for some time now. It's all about the money. They don't care about your health. This isn't about stopping some pandemic that isn't really a pandemic. It's a pandemic if you use the term loosely. If you call every year's flu season a pandemic, then this is a pandemic. This is another one. How politicians make millions off our corrupt political system. This is from overseas, The Guardian. How Big Pharma's money and its politicians feed the U.S. opioid crisis. You want to know why there's such an opioid crisis? It's corruption in politics and Big Pharma. Here's another one from an independent source. Here are the lawmakers making a ton of money off of what? The coronavirus. And like I said, we don't have time to go through all those stories, but those are the stories you'll see if you do that search. And you will note that only a couple of those are from news sources. You see, if you go on any search, I'm using Brave search. I never use Google. Don't use Google. Never use Google. Amen? I hope you're getting that. Don't use Google. And get off of YouTube and Facebook and Twitter unless you're keeping in touch with your family and that's all you're doing on there. Use it. Become a Facebook, Twitter, YouTube minimalist. Because they are making money off of you to kill you. They make money off of your use of their website so they can destroy you and your families. And if you go on a good web search and put in those terms that I said, you click on that little tab up there that says news. You see it up there? It's underneath where you put the search terms. You'll see all images, news, videos, or something to that according to which search. If you click on the news tab and open it up, you don't see stories. Why? Because the pharmacies own your news. Turn the news on and count how many of the ads are from pharma.
Oh, yeah.
Then find out they sponsor even over and above running ads. They own it. They are never going to tell you the truth about coronavirus and the vaccine, ever.
Well, I said there, you click on it, you won't see any reports on the corruption.
And I just have to throw this in. I don't think I want to talk about it here. Well, let's see. I might bring it up here. I can't remember what my last slide was on here. But this is just a heads-up alert. They're drumming up hysteria for a new COVID variant already. They're calling it Omicron.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not supposed to be Omicron.
Yeah, I read that too.
And how do they pronounce it in the press? It's Xi in Greek. Xi. In Greek, but that's how the Greek, but they, because of the president of China, how does he pronounce it? I can't remember how he pronounced it.
Xi? Yeah.
Xi? But it's an XI, right?
Yeah.
Which is exactly what the variant is supposed to be.
Right.
XI. But they're afraid that people will pronounce it Xi or Xi or whatever and identify China.
The China virus.
The China virus. So they skip to Omicron, which is another alphabet. It's all after the Greek alphabet. So Newsmax reported it this way. Asian and European countries alarmed by new COVID variant tighten curbs. They're already shutting down again over a variant that is not even as dangerous as the original. And a reminder, I did put it in there. Even the original COVID variant did not kill even a third of the number claimed. Every time you hear anybody say more than 700,000 people have been killed by COVID, you're looking at either a liar or a brainwashed robot. They count anybody, if you were shot in the head and when you died, you tested positive for COVID, they counted you. If you lived in Ohio but died in Michigan, both states counted you. And that's been going on since the very beginning, and they even got the doctors Burks, I think is her name, and others on video admitting it. They have screenshots of the CDC admitting it. So this is the question you always have to ask when anybody talks about COVID death statistics. Died of COVID versus died with COVID. We will never have exact numbers on this. Not going to happen. This is the sort of dishonesty you get when you ask this present administration questions about false claims that our senile president is making.
Last night, the president again said more Americans have died from COVID-19 than died in World War I, World War II, Vietnam War, and now 9/11. The numbers don't bear that out. So why has he said that again for a second time?
Well, I think I'll have to check on that specifically for you. I don't have the numbers all in front of me either, but if it's important to you, I will follow up with you after the briefing on it.
Well, you've been called out for it once before, so it was a surprise. We know you did a line-by-line edit, so it's a surprise that it went in again.
Well, I'm glad you're focused on the important business, but I'm happy to check on it for you.
See, the fact that the president is a liar and telling people things that he knows is not true, he's been told it isn't true, that COVID has killed more people than all of our wars combined. He's been told it's a lie. He keeps repeating it. And according to her, this reporter is not really concerned with important things. That was sarcasm. I'm glad you're concerned. Yes. That is just, when the people talk to you like that, that just tells you, you do not matter to them. You do not matter to them. Shut up and be the herd. That's what they're telling you. The message to you is shut your mouth and obey. That's coming. Down in Australia, they're rounding up the Aborigines and forcing them to get the shot. What did they do first? Disarm them. Gun confiscation leads to that kind of thing. And it always goes hand in hand. So, and we believe that it is wrong to allow the government to inject you with something that you personally are uncomfortable having injected in your body. Because it was developed using aborted stem cells. Murdered babies are being used for these. It's also wrong to force it on somebody because they don't even know what it's going to do to you. It's a complete experiment. It's been killing people and making people deathly ill, and they survived, but that's short term. We do not know long term effects. Now they got you over a barrel where you've got the two shots, or the one in Johnson & Johnson, I think. But now it's boosters. And they're going to nail you every 3 months. We have 300 plus million people in this country. Do the math. You are cash cows. Everybody on three, one, two, three. Moo. That's how your government and big pharma sees you. And until you resist that and stand and say, not me, then they're going to keep doing it. But enough people are resisting, by the way, that it's really making it. We're making their communist takeover very difficult. Aww. I'm going to call on Sean first when I get done here. But I just want you to look at this inflated number, 750,000. It's more like 200,000 or less. Yeah. And almost all of those are very old, very sick people with comorbidities. In a country of 320 million, that's less than 1%. It's less than 1%. That's another thing. Those of you know, my doctor has been under threat of his license because he saved people's lives giving them ivermectin. All right, Luke 14, and they could not answer him. And folks, this isn't on purpose. So, well, we go verse by verse through books of the Bible. God wrote the Bible that way and expects us to read it, study it, and expects us pastors to teach it from beginning to end. And we just happen to come to this text, which is going to be very pertinent for what we were just discussing. And they could not answer him. We're going to read verses 1 through 6. Sometime after prophesying the destruction of Jerusalem, in our previous study, we saw that. Pick up in chapter 14, verses 1 through 6. Join me in the even-numbered verses. I'll begin with verse 1. And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace, and he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, Which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they could not answer him again to these things. Amen?
Amen.
So we will now see that Jesus' priority was not to be liked. And this is a theme that you'll hear from time to time here, because it's a theme from time to time in your Bible. Amen. Jesus was not a typical TV preacher.
Amen.
Your typical TV preachers preach sermons, so-called, and sell books to be liked. They tell you all the wonderful things you want to hear instead of the things you need to hear. And they want to sell books, the love of money.
Yeah.
And if you're going to sell a book, the cover isn't going to say something like, you're all going to hell. Amen?
Amen?
I mean, you try to sell a book, it says you're all going to hell. But you know what? Without Jesus Christ, you're all going to hell. But if you have Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You're not going to see people trying to sell those books. A lot of publishers wouldn't even put them out there. But Jesus' priority was not to be liked. Verse 1, it says, And it came to pass as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day. Look at his last four words. That they watched him. You ever been around somebody you know just waiting for you to do something they can just jump on? They can latch onto you, take a bite out of you? You ever been there? A couple of you. I'm talking family. I'm talking maybe it happened to you a couple days ago on Thanksgiving. Yeah. And you go and you show up and they're just looking for that family in the my family growing up was that family in the neighborhood. We were the one family that went to church faithfully. They could not wait. They just wanted to see. Not all of them. Some of our neighbors are good people. But there were certain people in the neighborhood that would have loved to have seen my dad come pulling up at 2 o'clock in the morning drunk, standing in the front yard yelling at my mom and throwing beer bottles. They loved it. That didn't happen. And they would have loved to have heard, you know, fights. And, of course, when we became teenagers, they did. And there's a few times they heard the voices raised and that sort of thing. Because sometimes dealing with teenagers gets ugly. But that's what they're looking at you. They're not looking at you thinking, you know, you all seem so happy. There's so much peace in your home. They're looking at you thinking, that peace can't last. And just waiting for the explosion. And that's what they're doing with Jesus. They're looking at Jesus and thinking, he's going to mess up. They don't believe Jesus is God who came as a man. They don't believe that he's the prophesied Messiah that we read about in Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God.
Amen.
See, they don't see Jesus as the fulfillment of those. So what do they see him as? They see him as they want to see him. They don't want to lose their power. If Jesus turns out to be this Messiah, they'll lose their power. And folks, behind a lot of what's going on in our day today is all about power. But power goes hand in hand with money. And the love of money is the root of all evil. We, again, discussing this downstairs, and you've heard me say this many other times, when you see something that doesn't make sense, chase the money trail.
Amen.
You almost find out, almost every time find out that's what's behind it. So first of all, in this context, we see we have a chief Pharisee. He's one of the big boys.
Yep.
It's on the Sabbath. For a Jew, that's top of the line importance, the Sabbath. And if they saw you out doing anything, man, they were going to bring you in front of the judges. They had added all kinds of rules that weren't even in the Bible, by the way. And so now Jesus, in front of this chief Pharisee on the Sabbath, he's being watched. And I don't know about you, but you're going to think it's crazy. I'm standing up here and all you're looking at me because I'm the teacher right now. But I really don't like being the center of attention. When I'm teaching, I try to make the Bible the center of attention.
Amen.
I want the book, the Word of God, to be the center of attention.
Amen.
That's why you see our stuff, we have any signs or the website or whatever. I don't put this face on all of our stuff, you know. I don't want, when you think of BBF, the first thing you look at, you know. That's just not a good place. I don't like that. You know, there's been a lot of people who don't run for political office because they just don't like being under a microscope. It's just not a fun place to be. But Jesus took it on. And so the stage is set when we move to verse 2. And behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. Now, that sounds like a funny kind of name for a disease, but if you've known anybody who has it, it can be a very bad condition. It's described as an illness where a part or all of the body swells with too much water. And sometimes it can be the legs or just one leg or an arm or, and the other people, their whole body just swells up. That's part of what happens to me when I've had to go on steroids. And I start to just kind of look a little more poofy, you know, because it just kind of hits me all over. And it can have bad effects on you. I found one of the least difficult pictures to show you, just to give you an idea. But you see the difference. That's the same person. The left leg there is just pretty normal looking, and the right leg, you see what it looks like. And so for an idea of what this man may have been suffering from, there you go. Jesus will now pick a fight.
Amen.
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 I know that's not the Jesus some people are brought up on. But you know what you'll find when you read this book? You're going to find out Jesus is a little different than the one you see out there in the world.
Amen.
Little different from the one on TV all the time.
Yep.
Just go by the book and you'll find that out. And here, he's going to pick a fight. I mean, there's no reason for him to do what he's going to do right now, except for he wants to bring this out. You know, sometimes you're going to deal with, let's just say somebody's got a condition on their skin and what they have to do. I had this thing on my back as a big cyst. Thankfully, it wasn't cancerous, but they had to draw that thing out, and I had to go through a little ordeal, and then they cut it out, you know. I didn't sit there the whole time telling the doctor, "You're mean. Why are you doing this to me? Leave me alone." You know, it was necessary to have that done so that I wouldn't have this thing turn into a hunch, you know. And it just kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger. So he took it off there, and it's been gone for years. I'm thankful for that. Well, see, that's how God has to deal with us. And a lot of times we don't like it. But when God's dealing with us, sometimes it can get a little painful. Even a little ugly.
Yeah.
But when it's all said and done, if you let him do his work, he's a very good surgeon. His best surgery is done on the heart, by the way. He's a superb heart surgeon. He's also a very good fighter. Our God is a man of war. Verse 3. And Jesus answering spake unto the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day?" See, he's not going to take this lady with the, this man with the dropsy. He's not going to take him outside and walk him down the street and privately heal him. He's going to, before he even heals him, start the fight. Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they taught such. They themselves would do certain things on the Sabbath day, even though technically it would be a violation of the Sabbath. But yet then they cared less about people than they did their own selves. So Jesus is basically saying to them, are you going to defend what you actually teach? Are you going to defend it? Look, scripture with scripture. Remember in the previous chapter, look over back in chapter 13, we went over these verses. And verse 14 says, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said to the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, in them therefore come and be healed. Can you imagine that? Somebody's sick and they're in pain, they're suffering, and you show up on the Sabbath and the Pharisee says, you're not going to be healed today. Come back tomorrow. When the healer is right there ready to heal. And what's he do? Verse 15. The Lord then answered and said, thou hypocrite.